In 2016, I had moved out of my parents' house and moved to my very first new house in the suburbs of New York, but I didn't live in the city. The house wasn't anything big or special, it was just a two-bedroom house, which is an appropriate sized house, especially when it's your first one. Besides my family or relatives, I've only kept in contact with about one friend whose name was Matt that lived in Rochester, which is about an hour and a half from where I lived. A few days after I moved in, Matt invited me to his New Year's Eve party. I didn't have any plans on New Year's Eve, so I went with it and said yes. Fast forward to New Year's Eve, I drove the almost 2-hour drive to Matt's house and got there around 7 p.m. Once I got inside, there was about 30 people in his house. Some out in the backyard, some watching TV, and even some playing cards while drinking beer. Matt offered me a few beers, and I gladly accepted as I am somewhat of a heavy drinker and would rarely decline a drink. The night went on well with people socializing and we counted down to the new year. I'd say maybe about an hour after the new year had officially begun, the party started to die down and more people started to leave. I was completely wasted at the time, and Matt said it was fine if I crashed at his place for the night in the guest bed. I was tired and too drunk to drive, so I accepted his offer. Most of the guests were already gone by then, so I decided to head upstairs and go get some sleep. I went to sleep almost immediately due to the alcohol, and I was asleep for about a good hour before waking up to the sound of a firework close by. However, just as I was about to go back to sleep, I heard the closet door creaking open. I have had childhood fears in the past about closet doors, and for whatever reason, they stuck with me. I got up and closed the closet door, but not even 10 seconds later, the closet opened again with its hinges squeaking. This time, I got a bit annoyed and went to go shut it again. As I was shutting the closet door, I felt a hand grab me from the closet. I screamed, and whoever it was then let go of me. I ran down the stairs telling Matt about what had happened, and he then called police. The police then came in and went upstairs and came back down with a homeless man in cuffs. Turns out, the police had found one of Matt's kitchen knives hidden inside his jacket. The man then admitted something to us that we still can't get over till this day. He said that he had been living under the guest bed for about 3 weeks and hasn't ever been discovered by anyone. The look on Matt's face said everything, and Matt moved out of that house a month later as he couldn't deal with the constant paranoia.
I was invited to a party on New Year's Eve, and a couple that are my friends were invited too. Since the guy knew the way to the party and I didn't, and they live about 20 minutes from me driving, I gave them a ride. It was a nice party with 15 friends, and we spent the night okay. But in the morning, even though that our friend had told us we could sleep at his house and drive home when we woke up, we still decided it was time to go home. This was around 5:30 a.m. I drank only a bit of champagne so I could drive, and both my friends from the couple drank almost nothing since they were spending the next day with the girl's family and didn't want to be hung over. So we were sober when this happened. We said our goodbyes and got out of the house. We know that the area is known for having pretty sketchy characters, but the car was a 2-minute walk from the house and we didn't expect to get in trouble. We were wrong. So as we got out of the house, there was this one guy just standing in the middle of the parking lot, smoking what smelled like weed. We walk on the opposite side of the road of this guy, but he starts messing with my girlfriend. She's really pretty, so guys usually stare and she's used to it. But this guy starts making infelicitous comments to her, with her obvious boyfriend, my friend, that has his arm around her, right there. We look at him, but say nothing since we are right next to the car when he starts walking towards us. So we get in and I quickly lock the doors and drive away fast before he can catch up to us. But since that town was unknown to us and big, we had to stop and turn the GPS on. After we do this, we get on the road, but immediately have to stop at a red light. A car stops right next to us, which would be normal if it wasn't like 5:45 a.m. We look at it, and that creepy guy is inside, staring at us. At this time, we started commenting that he probably saw our car stopped and was waiting for us to ride away. But we didn't want to freak out, so we just kept looking forward and kept driving, thinking we were probably overreacting and that this guy could just be going the same way as us. But as the drive continues, we get on the highway. So does the guy, and he is obviously stalking us. When I speed up, he speeds up. When I slow down, he slows down. I even pretended I was going to leave the highway in one exit and quickly return to the main highway road, and he copied that exact same move. We start freaking out, but keep driving as me and the girl's boyfriend try to calm her down, saying there are two of us and only one of him, who was very lightly high. We are not that huge. I'm like 5'9", 140 pounds, and her boyfriend is like 5'10", 154 pounds. And the guy, besides being tall, was really skinny too, and we were just afraid of how crazy he was, crazy enough to stalk us. 40 minutes of stalking later, we get out of the highway so I can take them home, but I stop two streets away from my girlfriend's house and the car stops behind us, making her boyfriend jump out of the car and me following him. I wouldn't let him be alone. We don't know how crazy that guy is, and I have a really heavy bat in my car which I take with me. It's forbidden to have this kind of thing in cars in my country, but whatever, I have it anyway for protection. As we start approaching the car, he quickly speeds up, making a U-turn and driving away, back for the highway, or so we thought. My friends take their stuff and say they can make the walk home. It's about 3 minutes, going between the buildings and avoiding the roads. So we say our goodbyes and I get back to the car and start driving to the highway to get home. As I make the U-turn to get close to the highway, I see that creepy guy's car waiting there and he starts following me again, probably thinking my girlfriend is still there. Now I freak out a little bit more. I'm alone, and even if I have the bat in the car, I don't know what this guy has in his. So we get on the highway and I start driving normally, pretending I didn't see him. And the second I see two huge trucks in front of me, I speed up and pass between them. At this time, I'm driving around 87 miles per hour, looking at my rearview mirror to see if I'm losing the guy. My exit appears and I take it. I get off the main road into a side road from where I can see the highway and stop there. I turn off the car lights and look at the highway and see that guy's car get off of the highway but quickly getting back on. I guess I really lost him and he just got out and re-entered because the place where I live is the last exit where the highway is free of charge. I calm down and drive home all the way looking behind my shoulder. Nothing really happened, but my greatest fear was for my friend and for me after I was alone.
On New Year's Eve of 2014, my girlfriend and I went out to a restaurant with my two friends, Felix and Nick, and I'm still friends with them till this day. I haven't seen them since college, and I remembered that I still had them on social media, so I invited them to meet up at Scotty's, which is basically a seafood restaurant. So my girlfriend Sabrina and I get to the restaurant at around 8, while Felix and Nick got there around 9. We would be staying until 11, as we wanted to still see the fireworks on the water. As soon as my two friends came, we all greeted each other and I of course introduced them to my girlfriend. So fast forward about an hour later, we're all eating our food and waiting for the fireworks to start when my girlfriend tells me that she wants to take a walk on the little boardwalk that was near the restaurant. My girlfriend unfortunately has minor back problems and so whenever she wants to walk or stretch to relieve the pain, I don't mind it. Fast forward 20 minutes later, my girlfriend still hasn't come back yet and the fireworks were about to start in 5 minutes. I tried calling her, but it immediately went to voicemail, which was weird because she almost always answers her phone no matter what. Me, being the overprotective boyfriend I was, then started to get a bit worried that something may have happened to her. I told my friends that I was going to look for her and that I'd be back. I sort of jogged down the so-called boardwalk, thinking in my mind as to why I was so stupid for letting her go by herself. I jogged down the whole boardwalk, but I found no sign of her. I then began to go into panic mode, calling her name out, practically yelling. After about 10 minutes of me calling her name, I thought that all hope was lost. As I'm walking back to the restaurant, ready to call the police, I heard the blood-curdling screams of my girlfriend from about a half a mile away. I ran to where I heard the screams and I found her lying on the ground with a pool of blood beside her. I ran up to her and she was relieved to see me. She was breathing heavily while blood continued to pour. I started crying while I called 911, but they thank God showed up in a matter of 5 minutes and got to her just in time. We ended New Year's short that night, and my girlfriend stayed in the hospital for nearly 2 weeks. One day, when I was visiting her in the hospital, she revealed the truth about what had happened. As she was taking her walk, she saw a homeless man in need for money, so she, being the nice person she was, handed him some money. The man then got up and stabbed her with a pocket knife and fled the scene. Till this day, I'm so glad my girlfriend is still alive, and I couldn't ask for anything better. My scariest experience in my life happened to me on New Year's Day when I was around 17 years old. I lived with my parents at the time, but my parents had very, if any, little interest in me. They didn't dislike me or anything, I just wasn't their top priority at the time, as we were struggling financially and both my parents were busy every day. I had only one friend at the time who went to school with me named Rebecca. Rebecca was very kind, but I didn't like her addiction of smoking all the time. She'd smoke on a daily basis everywhere at school no matter what. What I'm trying to say is that it's very unhealthy, but hey, it's her choice. Anyway, Rebecca calls me and invites me to come hang out with her on New Year's Eve, as she'd be home alone and wasn't old enough to go with her parents to the party they were going to. I didn't have any plans either, so I said yes. So New Year's Eve comes around and I tell my parents that I'm going over to Rebecca's house. My parents give the okay and I went on my way. Rebecca lived only about 3 blocks away, so I wasn't that far from me. I got to her house and she greets me, and us being the bored girls we were, decided to watch some TV. At one point, she asked if I wanted to take a walk with her, and I said yes, as I actually needed a walk myself. Rebecca's house was in a rural area, and there were woods about a mile away from her house, so we decided to walk near there. Once we got to the woods, Rebecca offers me a cigarette, and I politely decline. She then proceeds to tell me that one cigarette won't hurt me as long as I don't overdo it. I again declined, but she kept pressuring me into doing it, and at the end, I had to say yes. I took one puff, and I nearly puked after that. However, Rebecca then told me to shush, and that she told me that she heard something. It is nearly dark outside, so I couldn't see anything, but I then began to hear what she was talking about. The more I listened, the more I could make out what the noise was. It sounded like someone or something walking in the leaves about a few feet away from where we were standing. Now, this was before cell phones had built-in flashlights, so we couldn't see anything or provide any source of light. In fact, it was so dark I could barely see Rebecca. I told her that we should go and was worried that we could be on private property or something. However, I then heard the sound of a firework go off and the flash then illuminated the sky. It also illuminated what was about 3 feet away from us. I only saw him for a second, but there was a man dressed in all black wearing a hoodie. The scary thing was that he was carrying a sack behind him. Rebecca and I then both ran for it back to her house. When we got back, we locked all doors and making sure there was no way anyone could get in. We sat behind the kitchen counter, waiting for another noise. Minutes felt like hours as we waited and waited. I had took a kitchen knife from the knife block and hid back behind the counter while Rebecca held a sledgehammer. As soon as Rebecca said if we should make a run for it, we heard several kicks to the front door. We knew right away that the man was behind the door, but before he could break it down, we heard sirens in the near distance. Police then came to the door and comforted us, while the other officers tried to find the man, but they never did. He got away with it free. Till this day, I still have an idea as to what was in that sack he was carrying, but I don't think I want to know for sure, because it's definitely nothing good.
What you're about to hear is the most traumatic experience of my life. It was New Year's Eve, and me and my girlfriend, let's call her Jane, were getting ready to see some fireworks. Jane and I knew a great spot deep in the woods where we could see the fireworks. We left at about 9:30 because the fireworks show was starting at 10. We made sure to pack some food, water, flashlights, and even a compass in case we got lost. We parked our car on the side of the road and made our way to the spot. I would say it was about a 15-minute walk or so until we reached the spot, which was a huge clearing surrounded by woods on all sides. Jane and I sat down and started watching the fireworks show. About 15 minutes into the show, Jane looked at the woods and said, "Did you see that?" I was confused and looked in the direction of the woods, but I saw nothing. I told her it was probably just a deer, and we continued watching the fireworks show. 5 minutes passed by, and I had completely forgotten about the incident until Jane told me to shush. I was confused and asked why. She then asked me, "Do you hear that?" I listened closely and could hear leaves crunching and twigs snapping. I looked in the direction of the sound and could somewhat make out the figure of a man. At first, I didn't believe it, but then a bright firework lit up the night sky along with the woods, and I could now clearly see a man about 6'3" walking towards us. Now, I'm 6'5" and believed I could easily take on this man if he wants trouble, but that all changed when another firework revealed a large knife in his hand. I told Jane to run, and we both darted back into the woods to the direction of our car. All the while, this man was running about 20 feet behind us. After about 2 or 3 minutes of running, we managed to lose the guy, and we arrived at my car. When we did, I made a horrifying discovery. All 4 of my tires had been slashed. We didn't know what to do. My car wouldn't be able to drive, and there was a maniac trying to kill us. And all the while, Jane was going crazy. I tried calling 911, but just my luck, I had no service way out there in the woods. Luckily, we saw a truck coming down the road, and Jane quickly flagged the driver down. The driver parked behind us, and a large dude stepped out of the truck. We quickly explained to him what was going on, and he got back into his truck and pulled out a gun along with a satellite phone. We used the satellite phone and called the police. They said they would be there in about 5 to 7 minutes. While we were waiting, Jane investigated the woods and then screamed. I quickly looked over to the direction she was looking, and I saw the man walking towards us. Jane yelled that it was him, and the driver of the truck then took one ground look at him and fired a warning shot. The gunshot sent the man running back into the woods. After 3 minutes of waiting in fear, the cops arrived. They called in a team to check the woods, along with a AAA truck to fix my car. The rest of the night was me and Jane at the police station. We tried to give the best description of the man that we could, but because it was so dark, I could barely make out his face. I don't know what would have happened if Jane didn't spot the man, but we've never been back to that spot since. It was my senior year of high school, and my friend Jake was having a New Year's party at his house. His parents happened to be away for a few days at a wedding, so it was the typical perfect situation for a party. Jake and I were pretty close friends, and we went way back, so of course I was one of the first people that he invited. At first I was under the impression that it was just going to be about 6 or 7 of us hanging out. And that's exactly how it started for the first 15 minutes or so. But then Jake announced that some more people were coming over. Over the next hour or so, there was a steady stream of kids coming into the house. It quickly seemed to turn into a high school house party. Before I knew it, the house was packed with mainly kids from our high school, as well as some kids that I had never seen before. Despite it being New Year's Eve, I still had a curfew at my parents' house, so once 11 p.m. hit, I decided to find Jake and tell him that I was leaving to go home. The party was mostly in the living room, as well as the entire front part of the house. He had closed off the door to his kitchen, indicating that he didn't want people going in there. I had seen Jake go in and out of the kitchen, and I thought he was in there, so I opened the door and entered it. It was completely empty, except for the corner next to the fridge. But it wasn't Jake there. There was a freakishly tall man standing there with his back turned to me. It really took me by surprise, as it was definitely not a high school kid. And wasn't Jake's dad either. The man had to be almost 7 feet tall, was probably in his late 20s, and had a really strange overall look to him. I stood there staring for a good 3 or 4 seconds. As soon as he started to casually turn and look at me, I closed the door back up and walked back down the hall to where a good 30 kids were. I was able to locate Jake in the crowd and asked him who the tall man in his kitchen was. It took a minute or so to get it across to Jake. He was having a good time and didn't seem to care at first. But I told him again, and he seemed confused, so I told him to come with me. I explained to him as we went to the kitchen, and he seemed to be slightly concerned. But when we got to the kitchen and opened the door, we didn't see anything at all. Jake went into the kitchen and looked around, as well as calling out for anybody that was in there to come out, but nobody was in there at all. We figured the tall man must have left, because there was no way to leave the house through the kitchen unless the man were to climb out the window, and none of the windows seemed to be messed with. We went back out to where the party was going on, and we asked several kids if they had seen a tall man at all, to which they all said no. Jake then ended his party shortly after that, and people all started to leave. Jake was a little concerned that the man still might be in his house somewhere, so I stayed back after everybody left to help search the house, along with our friends Jordan and Mike. We didn't find anybody still, and I went home while Jordan and Mike stayed at Jake's house with him for the night. The next morning when I woke up, I had several missed calls from Jake. I called him back, and the three of my friends told me how they had heard the front door shut at around 3 a.m, and when they all went down, they didn't see anybody in the house, but saw a very tall man walking down the street far away. This story happened last year on New Year's Eve. A friend group of the four of us got together at my friend Jennifer's apartment for New Year's Eve. It was a fun night, and we played games and watched a movie. We had a New Year's celebration, and at about 2 a.m, most of us called it a night. We were all young women and lived in a pretty large city, and had walked to her apartment. The other girls left before me because I stayed back to help Jennifer with something. When I finally left, it was about 2:15 a.m. It was roughly a 10-minute walk to get back to my apartment, which was a few blocks away. I walked down the sidewalk outside of Jennifer's place and saw there was a decent amount of people outside for this hour, probably because of it being New Year's. Then I had to pass by a park to get to my apartment, which was a little bit less in the city. The park was much quieter. It took up several blocks in itself and was sort of creepy to walk by so late at night, but I had done it a couple of times in the past. I did, however, start to hear movement coming from the bushes to my right in the park not too long after I started walking by. The park was more of hiking trails and woods than really a park, and the bushes and trees were pretty dense. I thought it was a squirrel at first, but I quickly realized that it was far too big to be one. As I walked along the sidewalk, it seemed to move right along with me. I looked into the bushes, but I really couldn't see too much with how dense the bushes were and the only light being from a dim street light. I decided to just keep walking, and I reached into my purse just to be prepared for the worst. The noise started to die down, and just when I was starting to feel relieved, I came up on the darkest part of the park where there was no street light, and I heard the noise of bushes getting extremely loud. Then I saw a man pop out of the bushes onto the sidewalk right in front of me. All I could make out was that he was slightly taller than me and had a hood on. He lunged at me almost immediately, and that's when I took my hand out of my purse and sprayed the man with my pepper spray. At first I was afraid it wasn't working because he got a tight grasp on both of my arms and he didn't let go, but as I struggled and continued to spray, we both ended up falling to the ground. And after being on the ground, he got up and ran back into the woods. I got up and sprinted to my apartment. I kept looking around to make sure I wasn't being followed, and when I got back and felt safe, I called the police. As they were on the way, I called my friends who had been at the party with me. When I told them the story, they told me that they too had heard the noise of something in the bushes beside them. However, a man never came out and lunged at them, probably because there was three of them walking together. The police arrived and took down information and then searched the park. But as far as I know, the man was never found.
We're going back about 10 years for this one. But this was without a doubt one of the worst nights of my life, and it's one that all started on New Year's Eve. A few friends of mine all congregated in one of our parents' houses, doing some pre-drinking before we were due to head out to a New Year's party. We got toasty on a few tins, then ended up getting a taxi into the city center, where there was this massive student house in the Georgian Quarter where a load of locals and students alike had gathered to get blathered and see in the new year. It was a decent enough party at first, like everyone seemed nice and friendly, and whoever lived there had to put in a great deal of effort to make people feel welcome, putting out snacks, ice for drinks, rigging up a big old speaker system to pump out the tunes, that sort of thing. Then at one point during the night, I noticed a few lads wandering around the party who looked like they didn't exactly belong there. It wasn't because of how they looked or dressed, like there was a big mix of people there from all different backgrounds, and it definitely made for a better atmosphere. The thing that got me was that while everyone was engaged in conversation or the like, drinking or dancing or whatever, these lads seemed to be just looking around, like they were just lost or looking for someone. I never really thought much of it at the time, though, like there were so many different people going in and out of the house all the time. I'd never been there before, hardly knew any of the people who actually lived in the house, so I wasn't really to know who should and shouldn't have been there, and it's not like I was about to start playing bouncer or security guard or whatever. Then, like an hour or so later, I'm in the kitchen trying to fish one of my cans of cider out of an already overstocked fridge, when someone walks up to me with this anxious look on their face. "Hi, do you know that guy in the waterproof jacket that's been walking around?" It was one of the students who actually lived in the house. "Me? No, I thought you knew them." I reply, taking out a can and cracking it open. "No, I thought they were with you," they reply, looking a bit more nervous as they're talking. There's a sort of awkward pause in the conversation before the person asks, "Can you get them to leave?" This was exactly the sort of thing I was trying to avoid. Like I said, I wasn't up for playing bouncer, and I was pretty bloody confused as to why they were asking me to do so. "Mate, it's not my house. It's not my party. I'm not gonna go around telling people that they can't be here," I say before wading through the crowds to find my mates. A little while later, I realized I couldn't see any of the dodgy-looking guys hanging around the party, so I just thought it had been dealt with by someone else. But then, the fella who'd asked me to kick them out comes up to me and actually thanks me for getting rid of them. Again, there's this moment of confusion where I'm like, "I didn't do anything, mate. They must have just left on their own." I really thought that that was the end of it, but boy was I wrong. I remember being pretty drunk by the time I nipped upstairs to use the third floor toilet, one that had some windows looking into the street out the front of the building. So I'm standing there, draining the main vein, just sort of blankly staring out the window when I see this car pull up. Nothing out of the ordinary, just a car with a few lads piling out. I watch them go around to the boot, open it up, then start to pull out mass. I did a kind of double take, like, "What is this?" They were pulling out ski masks, balaclavas, all sorts of stuff like that, followed by baseball bats, hockey sticks, knives, all kinds of blunt and sharp weapons. My brain was just slowed by the alcohol, I think, and I remember thinking, someone's in for a rough night, only realizing it was us that was in trouble when they started heading up the pathway towards the house, the same party house which had an open, unlocked door to allow pretty much anyone and everyone to just wander in and out at their leisure. The night was about to go very, very wrong for us. I don't think I even finished up my pee properly, at least I have no memory of doing so. The only thing I remember is rushing back to the room where my mates were chilling, just in time to hear a load of screaming and shouting coming from the ground floor. I just remember saying, "We need to get out of here, now." But my mates were so blitzed that they just sort of looked back at me in confusion, like, "Why, what's up?" Not even bothering to move at first. I grabbed my jacket from off the floor, trying to tell them what I'd just seen, and what I'd just heard coming from downstairs, but I think I was so scared and drunk that it all just came out as a babble at first. I think maybe they just thought I was pulling their leg at first, that I was just playing some daft prank on them. I get it. The mood went from 0 to 100 really bloody fast, and I can totally understand their confusion. But then all of a sudden this lad appears in the doorway of the room we were occupying, wearing a gaiter over the bottom half of his face, with a baseball bat in his hand. Only then did they really realize how serious I'd been. The lad just instantly took a swing at my mate, who was closest to the door, and he only barely got out of the way in time. The lad then just starts shouting at us to stay seated, but to throw our phones into the middle of the room. There's a moment of hesitation, and the lad decides to let us know how serious he is by smashing a stereo near to him. I mean, he swung so hard with the baseball bat that he just obliterated that thing with one swing. That was all it took to get us to comply, and we all tossed our phones into a rough pile in the middle of the room. We thought he'd just grab them and leg it, but that wasn't enough for him. He starts asking for wallets, MP3 players, anything of any value, basically for us to empty our pockets. While this is going on, I can see all kinds of chaos unfolding in the hallway outside the room we're in. Lads are getting brave with the invaders only to get smacked in the face with brass knuckles or hockey sticks. Girls are getting pulled by their hair down the hall, falling over their high heels and getting carpet burned from getting dragged along the carpet. God knows what happened to them after they got their phones or wallets stolen. A few of us tossed our empty wallets next to our phones, but since only a few of us did, this mask guy thinks the rest of us are holding out on him. He doesn't smash an appliance this time, though. He edges forward and swings the bat down onto my mate's shoulders. Jesus Christ, the scream that came out of him after the impact was just unreal. Like I knew in an instant that he'd broken something, and he just falls down onto the carpet and starts grimacing in agony. The fella's all like, "I told you, wallets now!" Maybe one or two more wallets get tossed into the pile, but there are still lads sat around who basically haven't thrown anything in the middle of the room, and the fellow with the baseball bat has noticed this. He takes another swing at the lad whose shoulder he'd just smashed, bringing the bat down hard onto his side with this horrible, sickening thumping sound. It totally knocks the wind out of him, and if I didn't know any better, I'd have thought the gasping noises he were making were him properly dying. One of the guys blurts out that he's got nothing on him, that all his stuff is in the living room downstairs. I think he was one of the guys who actually lived in the house. This answer didn't satisfy the masked fella, who then smacks the downed broken bones guy for a third or fourth time and gets him absolutely screaming in agony as yet another bone breaks. We're all pretty much begging him to stop at this point, but he just keeps smashing that baseball bat down onto our mate, barking at us to give him everything we've got or he'll just kill our mate. I think the only thing that saved his life was the appearance of another masked lad in the doorway, who told him that they had to leave before the police showed up. And at that, the raiders were gone as quickly as they'd come. They'd ransacked the entire house, beaten up anyone who so much as put up an ounce of resistance. The whole place was just in shock. Girls were crying or wailing over the unconscious bodies of those lads they'd knocked out with bats or brass knuckles. It was honestly like walking through a war zone as I shakily plodded down the stairs, surveying the scene while my mates tried to tend to the guy who'd had the absolute life beaten out of him. Because they'd taken most people's phones, I think only a handful of people left at the party were able to actually get in touch with emergency services. I remember a few of them sort of going from room to room, trying to give the 999 operators a kind of damage report, telling them exactly how many injured people there were. There were police cars everywhere within the hour, and I think maybe about 4 ambulances turned up to treat the wounded, with another few ferrying the more seriously wounded of us off to the hospital for treatment, which obviously included our mate who'd had his bones broken by the lad with the baseball bat. Once he'd been taken away, there was no reason for us to be there anymore, so we just grabbed a load of ale from the fridge in the house and got walking home. I won't lie, we did take a few cans and bottles that didn't belong to us, but I think we just wanted to drink to forget at that stage. Like, it was probably the single most terrifying, traumatizing thing I'd ever seen in my life up until that point. Like, I know it's a massive cliche, but I heard our mate's screams for months afterwards. Sometimes when there were quieter moments in college or at night, I'd just hear them in my mind. Like, not actually hear them, just remember them so vividly that it was like I could hear them, if that makes any sense. Those screams are a sound, along with the sound of bones breaking, that I sincerely hope I never have to hear, ever, again.